So people often ask me, why does Shofar Church plant churches? Why is there 30 of them? Why don't you just do a couple of big mega churches across the city? Well, the short answer is, that's not what God called us to do as Shofar Movement. And our vision is to reach the nations and generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. And one of the best ways for evangelism still this day is to plant churches. Look at Paul. He went out and he planted churches across the Middle East. So if you do know of congregations or people out there that could possibly use our streaming, please do let us know. We'd like to invite as many people as possible to do that. Okay, so does anyone have a word? We've got two.
Okay, I don't often have words, but my experience with God is when he wants me to say something, my heart starts racing, I start sweating, and I get extremely nervous, so I'm guessing I should share. Excuse me if I start crying. It's something that's been on my heart a long time, mine and Hines. But what I feel the Lord wants me to share is as the body of Christ, but specifically as a church, everywhere, it's worldwide, it's a problem. We as women need to stop emasculating our men. And the men will rise up when we stop. They have a responsibility as well to rise up and lead, and we will follow automatically, I believe it fully. But as women, we need to stop emasculating our men. And it's rampant in our society. We see it everywhere, and it's rampant in the church. If you don't see it, if you don't believe it, ask God to open your heart and to show you. But as women, we live in a society that tells us we are equal to men. We're not. Before God, we are equal in our status as humans, but we are not equal. We were made to be the helper, not the leader. We were made to submit under our men, not to lead them. And my prayer is that God will work in every one of our hearts as men and women to show us what our God-ordained role is. Because submission is not a floorlap. It's not the doormat. It is a role which God has called us to. And in serving in that role, together with our husbands and the men in our society, we represent who God is. We are not lower than them. We are not below them, but we are the weaker vessel. And that is our job. It is our role. That is how we represent God. Because if God comes to our home today, if there's a problem, and he knocks on the door, he's going to ask, is the man of the house home? That's what he did with Adam and Eve. He spoke to Adam, not to Eve. Let's stop emasculating our men.
Sally, thanks. This sort of ties into that. In the last three or four services, I think that you've spoken, you felt very strongly about how passionate and pained God is. Sorry, I'm looking at Yanni. How passionate and pained God is for his church today. And as we were praying before the service, I just remembered something from Colossians. So I want to read the whole piece. It's long. And I just believe God is saying, and I think it's confirmed in part in what you're saying, is that he's given us the ultimate examples to follow. And he set the world up in a particular way because he wants us to be faithful to following the examples that he set for us. And I think in the world today, we've lost all sight of what God's examples are. And so it burns his heart. It burdens his heart. Sorry, and I'm emotional because this issue of God's passion for his church has been on my heart for the last two or three months. And it gets stronger and stronger. And when I think about it, I'll cry. So I'm going to just try and read the verses instead. If you want to follow, it's from Colossians, it's chapter 1, verse 15, and I'll just read on for a bit. The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he... is the head of the body, our body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And I really feel God is saying to us, you know, especially in a church, we can become like a club, and we can look after each other, and we can love each other, and this can be a great and a safe place to be. But if it's not about Jesus, if everything we do is not about showing the world Jesus, then we're missing a fundamental thing. And in our families, it should be about promoting Jesus. And so when, I guess, wives submit to their husbands, or when husbands take their rightful place as leaders in the family, we're modeling Christ. And so I really just want to encourage you to listen to that word, and to consider the scripture in all that we do, whether it's in this church or in our families or outside in our workplace, to hold Christ up as the ultimate example. God wants that. Because somebody had another word this morning, Liane, you shared, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We need to repent and turn to God, follow him. Amen.
Good morning, church. Everybody was talking this morning about all things. In Romans, all things work together for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. I'm standing here because of God's faithfulness. Last week, my daughter applied for a kind of job. I don't know which one. But last year, they were interviewing people, and she was asked, Mom and Dad, would you please pray for me because my turn is at 10:30 on Tuesday morning. And she went there, and me and my wife, early in the morning, because I'm a guy of early hours in the morning, 4:00, 4:30, I get up, and I told my wife, give me a hand, let's intercede for our daughter this morning. And we intercede for her, and we were weeping before the Lord. And thank you guys for each and every one of you for your prayers. And soon after that, she went into the room, because we sent Jesus before, Jesus, that everyone must, when they speak to her and when she opened her mouth, it must be Jesus, only him and only him alone. They were interviewing 5 other people before, but when she entered the room, he was there. He was there. And she signed the papers. Immediately, she was permanently there. She's a funds administrator for Alexander Forbes. And I thank the Lord this morning that he has done our life.
Morning. I just have a scripture I'd like to share. It's in Romans 10:15 and then down. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring the glad tidings of good things.
Just a quick second, everybody. Yes, it was last week when we were on our way to the conference, women's conference. And the Lord was speaking to me. Actually, I was busy with some other stuff. And I go a little bit later to the conference. And as we were moving there in the car, the Lord was talking to me. And he told me, Susie, you know, you've got to get your structure right. First me, then your husband, then you. No, sorry. I'm not even in the pattern. First me, then your husband, then your children, then your grandchildren, then the community. Because you put the community first. And you can't even put me and the community in the same box. I'm God and I want to be first. I want to be recognized as God, then your husband. You know, and it was so hectic. The Lord speak to me in such a manner, like a father with a child, in that voice, tone of voice. And when I came at the conference, I talked to Joanne. I saw her there and I see you. It was about 2:00. I just came here now because of some other stuff. And she said, Susie, you know, you've missed out. But I know in my heart that I didn't miss out because it was mentioned there in that just before I arrived, all about the structure and the pattern which we have to follow. And especially in these days, sure, and I was just so, and I told my husband afterwards, I'm so sorry. So yes, Jenny Lynn, yeah. It's yes, I just want, it's just a confirmation, because God wants to be on the throne. Then our husbands. And I also in, and where because I fit in, she said, but you don't even fit in because you're dead. You're dead in Jesus Christ, you don't fit in. So yes, because normally I used to put the community first, every other people, person. Then, and my family just standing there and waiting, my husband also, Susie, when will we get your attention? But the Lord want to speak to me in a way that he was talking to the other ladies in the conference, but thank you, Jesus, you talked to me and I did listen.
Morning, folks. As an old man, I would like to encourage this young lady that spoke. She spoke very wisely, and for a young girl to say this is going against the trend in terms of what the world wants ladies to do. I believe it is totally from the enemy, this women's emancipation. And for the benefit of the ladies here, I would like to say that they may not realize it, but it very often, this whole emancipation idea frightens many men. It makes us wonder, you know, if we are good enough for them, and often it drives a wedge between a man and a woman in a marital situation. So thank you for this very courageous word of this young lady.
Thank you, everybody who shared. Really appreciate that. Later. I'm sorry, I'm getting signals here, but you can wait. Today's service, I call, and note I'm saying the service, not the sermon. The service is called the mission. And thank you. Thanks so much. So, the mission. You don't have to be like James Bond, a secret agent, to have a mission. You don't have to be like Captain Kirk, who is the captain of the Star Trek Enterprise, to have a mission. You don't have to be a wanted political activist like Nelson Mandela to have a mission. No. But just like James Bond, just like Captain Kirk, and just like Nelson Mandela, God has given me a mission, and he's given you a mission, every single one of us. The question is, will you accept it? Will you accept the mission that God has given you? Unfortunately, the majority of Christians have not accepted the mission that he's been given, that you've been given. And the mission hasn't changed. It's been the same for thousands of years. It hasn't changed at all. Before I go further on that, I just want to talk a little bit about Pentecost. Today, we Christians, we celebrate an event, a celebration called Pentecost. And I believe that the mission that Jesus was trying to share is in the story of Pentecost. So I'm going to read for you from Acts 2, verses 1 to 12, to give some insight into this Christian mission. So on the day of Pentecost, have you found your place? If you haven't, it should be up on the screen. It's not up on the screen. Okay. So you'll have to follow me in your Bibles or on your iPhone or your iPad, whatever is relevant for you. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. Verse 12. They stood there, amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. So what does all of that mean? I'm asking us. What was happening? What was happening on that day of Pentecost? Why was there, what was the purpose of the Holy Spirit being poured out? Well, before Jesus tells us what the purpose of that outpouring of the Spirit was, and before he gives us our mission, I just want you, by illustration, to put yourself in a position. Put yourself in a scenario. Say, and I've actually used this illustration once before in church, so for those who've heard it, just play along with me. Say you are going to leave all your loved ones. That's your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your children, your friends, everyone that you love. Imagine you were about to leave them. And you knew you were never ever going to see them again. Okay? At the moment of departure, what would you tell them? What would you tell your loved ones? Some of you might say, please look after the kids and make sure they get a good education. Others may say, please look after the dogs and make sure that they're well looked after. Others of you may say, please make sure that the family business continues to run because that legacy must live on. I don't know about you, but if I was about to leave my wife, my amazing, beautiful wife, and never see her again, I would tell her that I loved her and that I would miss her terribly and to look after our child that's coming. Praise Jesus for that. So what would you tell your loved ones? What would you tell your loved ones? For Helen? Francois? Hein? Dale? Nielis? Jerry? Anita? Betsy? Mavis? What would you tell your loved ones if you were about to leave and never see them again? Whatever you say is going to be the most important thing on your heart. Does everyone agree with that? Okay. So the last words that Jesus said to his church before he ascended into heaven was this. This is Acts 1, before Acts 2 of Pentecost. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Verse 9, and after this, he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. The reason Jesus said these last words, let me repeat them. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you, all of you, will be my witness in Jerusalem. That means in your hometown, in all Judea and Samaria. That means nationally around you. And to the ends of the earth means to the ends of the earth where you are not. So, the reason why Jesus said this was because it was the most pressing thing on his heart. Also, the people tend to remember the last sentences or words of a conversation. So the last words ringing in the ears of the disciples from Jesus were, I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. You are going to be my witness. Think of it this way. Jesus came as a witness from heaven so that he could make us witnesses for heaven. I know some of you are already going through your excuse folder, going through the excuses. The reason why you cannot be a witness for Christ. Oh, it's not really my thing. Oh, I'm not bold enough. Oh, I don't know how to do that. Oh, that doesn't fit my personality type. Oh, that's outside my comfort zone. There's plenty of them. And the worst one of all, that's the pastor's job. That's the pastor's job, not mine. Well, that's not what Jesus said. So Jesus tells this last thing on his heart to his disciples. They go to the upper room in Pentecost and they wait for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit arrives because God is faithful. Not everyone was faithful because 500 got that message. 500 went to the upper room. Only 120 lasted. So quite a few dropped out. God was faithful, but not everyone else was. So what was the first thing that happened to the disciples after they were filled with the Holy Spirit? The very first thing, Peter steps forward and he starts to witness. He starts to witness. He starts to preach the Word of God to people that had come from all around. God wants us to have a ministry in this church. He really does. He really does. But he also wants us to have a mission out in the world. Ministry is serving Christ for believers. Ministry in this church is serving Christ for believers. Mission is serving Christ for unbelievers. In essence, we are saved to serve, but we are saved to share. Share. The reason why evangelism and missions should be the heart of Shofar Church and is the heart of Shofar Church is because it's the heart of Jesus. I told you a couple of weeks ago that in 2012, Shofar Church is the biggest mission-sending church in Southern Africa. We send more missionaries out than any other church in the whole of Southern Africa. Quite an achievement. I think that would please Jesus because it's his heart. And think about it. There's only one tool. There's only one tool that God uses to get people from out there into here. What's that tool? Us. It's me. It's you. We are plan A, and there is no plan B. There's no plan B. It's up to us. If we don't do it, no one's going to do it. We are all witnesses for Christ. So that, my brothers and sisters, is the mission that Jesus has for you. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the mission that Jesus has for me. We are all to be missionaries. It does not matter how long you've served the Lord. It does not matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are, how young you are, how old you are. God can use you. God can use you and he wants to use you. Let me share a little testimony. This week, Conrad, he used to be in this church and he had a little episode on the front lawn with Henny. I don't know if any of you remember him. I can't remember his surname. What's his name? Freud. That's it. What's it? Fuert. Okay. Okay. So Conrad used to be part of this congregation, and every now and again he pops in just to say hello. And Conrad is led to go and preach the gospel to people that society looks down upon. Outcasts, street people, drug addicts, prostitutes. And as part of the Tigerberg Shofar, they've planted a new church in Bellville, and they call it Shofar Urban, the urban church. And this urban church is filled with street people. Filled. It's actually only street people and people who've been forgotten by society, as I say. So I just want to share you a little bit about how God can use anybody. People are coming into this church, the urban church, our church, and they're getting saved. Funny thing, Conrad says to me, he says, there's word on the street that if you want good food, because they hand out food, if you want good food, don't go to Shofar, but if you want to change your life, go to Shofar. Apparently, they only serve polony and so they're saying, if you want good food, go to the other churches, but if you want your life, change your life. And I'm not trying to put any other church down, please, but I'm just telling you what he told me. These people have no masks. They will go up to Conrad afterwards and they'll say, hey, Conrad, you didn't prepare very well this week. That message sucked. No masks. But let me share you the heart of these people, because Conrad says every day his Christianity is getting challenged. And this is how it's getting challenged. He has a church service, call it the regulars come in. After every service, they feed everyone a meal because these people don't have food or money. So the regulars come in, and 5 minutes before the end of the service, a whole lot of people enter because they want the food. Okay, a whole lot of people. So Conrad stands up and he says, excuse me, look, we don't have enough food. So for those people who came in, the regulars, who came in early, I would like you to go to the front of the line. And those people who came in last, you wait at the back of the line. So the regulars stand up and say, no, Conrad, give them first. People with nothing, giving it away. There's a man, an old man who got saved. He has a cardboard box maybe this big. Okay, it's like a cardboard shelter, this big, okay, where he sleeps, cardboard. And every night, he sets three beds, not beds like you know, and you know, cardboard beds with a blanket or whatever it may be. And every night, he goes out and he fetches two people off the street to sleep with him. God can use every single one of us. Every single one of us. We just have to be willing. And he can use you as a missionary across the globe. He can use you in your own community right here in Franschhoek. And on the 23rd of June, I encourage and implore you, if you want to stretch your faith, if you want to grow in the Lord, come and serve with us. I don't want to hear anybody come and complain to me about their spiritual walk coming to a standstill if you do not come and do your part. Stretch yourself. We will hold your hand. We will not expect anything of you except to come and watch. It could be your neighbor on your front door. I don't know. It could be someone in your family. But as I say, you have to be willing. And at this point, I'm going to hand over to Vian, because there's some willing people he wants to talk about.
Hello. Wow, what a tough act to follow, Yanni. That was amazing, thanks. I just really want to share about last year's mission, just like 2 minutes briefly, just a short testimony. Six of us went to the Ukraine last year in June, and our main focus was a youth camp outside of Ternopil in the forest there. And we were busy with preparation work. I think there's like onion here, because when you stand in front, you just want to cry. But there was this camp, and we were preparing. We actually shoveled, was it like 4 tons of sand into wheelbarrows, and we were building a swimming pool that the kids got baptized in at the last day of the camp. But this was now a week before. This was the Friday before the camp. The camp started the Monday. And we were all serving. I was manifesting almost a bit, because I mean it's very heavy work, and I don't have the biggest muscles, but I mean we all did it, and we even had a break where we had some berries, and it was fun. And then there was this boy, boy guy. He was about I think 18, and he had a bandage around his foot, and he came with his mother. He wasn't a believer at that stage. But his mother was, and she kind of dragged him along to come and help with the camp preparations. And he was shoveling, and Kat actually saw his foot, and she said, let's pray for him. And she asked him, can we pray for you? And he was like, kind of, yeah, well, okay. He probably didn't want to insult us, because we were foreigners, and he wanted to be nice. So we sat him down, and we started praying for him. And he got up, and Kat... For Barak. She asked him, so how does it feel? How's your foot? Great is your faith, because mine, I was just like, pray and go. Then he looked quite shocked, and I thought it, because he doesn't know how to say it, but yeah, you can actually speak some English. And he said, he was shocked. He got kind of a pale in the face, and he said, "Yeah, it's healed. And he was standing on it. He was walking on it. So praise God, he got healed." And it was really cool guy. I mean, we were joking because Andre and I were taking the wheelbarrows down to the sand, and then he would always like put an extra pile or two of sand on my wheelbarrow. So it was kind of fun. It was a cool guy. But he still wasn't saved, and we actually started praying for him, and the Lord really burdened him on my heart. And I really prayed for him a lot. And the Sunday in their church, Yanni did an altar call, and in Ukraine it's really different. The whole church comes forward for the altar call. It's amazing. And then we've all got our hands full of oil and praying, but he didn't. So I prayed. And then actually the Tuesday evening at the camp, I was speaking to his mother, and her English is very broken, but I was kind of telling her that his name is Sasha. I really believe that Sasha is going to come to the Lord, and we're trusting for that. And I was told that I almost think that his foot healing was almost like that the little silver fish that you go fishing with, like a lure, what? The bait. And that the Lord's really going to use that to pull him in. And he actually came to me and he asked me, "What are you telling my mom? Do you need me to translate?" And I was like, "Okay, go big or go home." So I was like, I was just telling her that I feel that the Lord is going to use your healing to draw you in and to share his love with you. And he was like, "Yeah, wow, can we go pray?" So he gave his heart to the Lord. It was really amazing. He gave his heart to the Lord. He got spirit-filled. And on the Friday morning, he got baptized as well. So it was really, praise God so much for that. It was amazing. And we actually kept contact at the beginning, like every day, and then about once a week, we kept contact. And I was kind of like trying to disciple him over Facebook, which is quite hard. But I mean, they've got a really amazing church, and he was slotted in really well. And he actually he joined the youth group there, and then he actually got his own youth small group, as we know. And at the moment, he's with the main pastor and a few other guys from the team. He's doing missionary work in Central Asia, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Russia, and so forth. So really, it's blessed, and God is good. So he uses us because we are different, and because there's a blessing in going, he uses us. So, yeah, thanks. Praise God. I just want to introduce you guys to the missions team of 2013. So if you would turn to your left and to your right, that's who's going. Missions Team 2013, give yourself a hand. I would really like to encourage you all. It's not the 10 of us who are going on a mission and you guys are like, "Okay, well, enjoy guys, nice, have a nice flight." I really want to encourage you guys to become part of the team. You are part of the team. And we would really love everyone to partner with us in prayer and in joining us. And if you have a word, if you want to send something with, if you want to pray for us, please, guys, join us. And we also have a prayer wall that Jerry's going to tell you about just now. It's really important that we feel us ten feel sent by you guys, and that we go as a church. And you guys know that you're also part of the team and not just staying behind, but you are intercession team, you are a prayer team, you are encouragers. We will probably have a cell phone there, so if you want to send us a message, please do. So can I please get the hands and feet 2013 up on this, up in the front, please. As you guys see, we've got Chris and Lizelle Parsons with their two beautiful daughters, Sabrina and Christina. They've really been amazing testimony to us and to Shofar in a whole. I think it's the first family going on a mission, Yanni. Yeah, mom, dad, kids, first. So we're breaking barriers and we're setting records, yeah, in friendship. We've got Yakumin from Stellenbosch. She's really crazy and she's really prophetic. It's amazing to have in the team. She's kind of like breaking all our mind shifts and walls. Vanneke, she's our translator. She's going to translate. She's going to translate from Afrikaans into English for the Russians. And she's really like a, she gives us a go, and she's really a lot of energy. Yanni, who kind of like just keeps us level and center when we want to go off on our tangents, and he's like, you guys. And the Parsons are amazing. They really open their homes to us. Is there some water? Kind of gets dry. They open their homes. They're really warm and welcoming, and we bless you guys. Thank you. Jerry, he's really been working really hard in the kitchen, and he's really like bending the schedule. He actually manipulated the holidays a bit so that he could go on missions. And this is Elmery. Elmery's from Joburg. You might know where you are. Joburg. She actually got a word from God that she needs to go to the Ukraine-Russia area. And then just through the grace of God, she got connected to us. So can I please ask the missions team of last year, you guys, to just come and pray for us, please. Lisa, Andrea, Lisa. Thank you, guys. Make it quick.
Yes, I think everyone just stretch out your hands for a moment. Lord, thank you for this incredible group of warriors, Lord, that have given up their time, Lord. They've given up their any spare time they might have had, Lord. Holidays, finances. Lord, we thank you that you place in their hearts such a desire for the people of the Ukraine. Lord, I pray that they will anguish for them, Lord. I pray that they would know your heart for the people of the Ukraine, Lord. Lord, I pray that you give them divine appointments. Lord, I thank you that their hearts will be so filled with your love that when they arrive on that soil, Lord, it'll feel like a homecoming. Lord, I thank you that the enemy will not put doubts in their minds, that we will cover them, Father, but I thank you for a unity in this team, Lord. Thank you that nothing will come against the unity in this team, that they will be bound as one. Father, I thank you that they will honor leadership. They will be quick to obey. They will not second guess. They will not criticize. They will guard their mouths, Lord, and their hearts. Father, we just bless them right now in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father, thank you that we can come together as a church, Lord, and we can just send them, Lord, with the blessing, Lord, and thank you that as they go, Father, that we will just cover them in prayer, Father, and Lord, and thank you that as they go, Lord, that they'll have their favor, that they'll have your favor in their way, Lord, and thank you that you cover them by your blood for protection, Father, and thank you that as they go there, that Lord, that they can just go and do what's on your heart, Lord, and they will do your will, and thank you, Father, that you give them a love for that country, Father, and thank you that they are unified by your spirit, Father, and thank you that they can have the be like-minded in the vision, Lord, and what's on your heart, Father, to do there, Lord. And, Lord, we just come and cover them with your blood for protection, Lord, and thank you for their favor. Thank you, Father. We can also just bring up their finances, Lord, and thank you that you are faithful till the end, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father God, thank you just that they've just been obedient to the call, Lord, to go. And, Lord, I just pray that as they land at Ukraine, Lord, that the Gabarov family will accept them the same way they've accepted us last year, Lord. And I just thank you that it's when you get there, it's like meeting extended family, Lord. And I just pray that that connection will be even stronger than what our team had, Lord. And I thank you for just all the testimonies that we know that are going to come back here, Lord, afterwards. But thank you for every salvation, Lord, and for every divine appointment that you're going to bring over their paths. And thank you, Lord, that I know that as they go to serve, Lord, you will bless each of them, Lord, and impart something very special into each of their lives. Just want to pray that in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, just thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you send them out to go, Lord, to preach your word, Lord, and just to show people how you love them, Lord. And Lord, I just want to honor the obedience, Lord, and I pray that you will bless them for that, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you are good and faithful, Lord, and Lord, that they can trust in you for everything, Lord. Lord, thank you that you will use them mightily, Lord. Lord, thank you, God, that your power will manifest in their lives as they go, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you cover them by your blood, Jesus. Lord, thank you that they do not have to be afraid, Lord, because you are with them always, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that when they go, Lord, they will feel that they are going to bless the people, but I know, Lord, you're going to bless them more, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the growth that they will experience, Lord, that they will experience you in a way that they've never done before, Lord. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the willingness to go and to work, Lord. And yes, Lord, I thank you for every divine appointment that you will send along the way, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that they will just minister your love to the people of the Ukraine, Lord. And yes, Lord, we just praise you, Lord, and we just can say, Lord, that the Ukraine will know God, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thanks, guys. Take your seats. Just to let you know that everything we do when we go to the Ukraine is done through the local church. We don't go there to stamp our authority on them or to go and chauffeurize them or to do anything like that. We go to partner and to encourage and to serve. That's the reason why we go. Obviously to share Christ, but I'm saying with that, that's the attitude we go with. But, you know, the two-week mission trip to the Ukraine is really just the cherry on the top. There's a whole bunch of training and things that happen before you go on mission trips. Hey, Chris.
Yanni, when we first signed up, he said to us that the 2 weeks in the Ukraine is the easy part. And I kind of thought, well, I went on a mission trip last year to Zambia with the church we were before, and yeah, the 2 weeks there was a little challenging. We lived in the bush. There weren't toilets, holes and grounds, things like that. And I guess it's not that hard. But then Yanni said to me, the lead up to this trip is going to be challenging. And challenging, I think, is an understatement. You know, the church offers a lot of courses like the SOS and the Freedom, and they encourage you to do it. Now, when you go on the mission trip, they kind of force you to do it. You know, I must be honest, if it wasn't for the fact that we got forced, I most probably wouldn't have gone to some of these courses. But in hindsight, having gone to the courses, I can really honestly recommend that you all do it, because at the end of the day, like you were saying early on, the mission field isn't just the Ukraine. The mission field is Grundal. The mission field is everybody you meet every day on the street. And these courses really challenge and equip you. I mean, I walked out of that Freedom Weekend. I'm not going to get into too much details, but the foundation of everything I've ever believed was shaken after the SOS. It was like, whoa, was I ever really getting it? You know, and like I say, Shofar asks and asks and asks, and it is a little sad that when you sit in these courses that most of the people there are the kids from Stellenbosch mostly that are on the missions. And I really encourage that all of us need to do it, and we need to make missions our mission. All right.
Cool. Thanks, Chris. So we need your help for the success of this trip. Basically, as Vian shared, it's a team effort between those who are being sent and those who do the sending. And it's our home base that really will open the doors and will show whether this trip is successful or not. So we ask you to partner with us and support us in two key areas. The main key area I'm actually going to ask Jerry to speak about. It's basically prayers and finances. So here we go.
Yes, please don't do all the talk work, otherwise I won't have anything to say. As Vian also mentioned already, my portfolio is intercession. So what I've done, like last year, I've made a spreadsheet with all the days that we will be there in Ukraine, and then all our names, and it's actually on the door of the info room. And I would like to encourage you, please put your names down there. Luckily, all of us know all of you, so we will go and look for your names on that door. And yeah, actually, all of us are encouraged to go and ask whoever would like to pray for us, please. We're going to come and ask you. And then also, we actually have a prayer book, so whenever we are in Ukraine and you get a vision or a word or something, we're going to have one cell phone. So please SMS that to us, and then we can add that to the book, and the book will be used as future reference as well. Yeah, that's basically it from me. And yeah, it's a very important part that we are a team going to Ukraine, but the family back home is actually more important to stay in prayer for us, and yeah, just please pray for us. That's actually what I want to ask. Thanks.
I'm not chipping in on this action, but I just want to share something about prayer. When Yanni and I had gone to India in 2009, there's a slight time difference, a time delay, and we found that the early hours of the morning, when people were still sleeping, was our biggest time of attack. We would absolutely come under severe attack. And the moment we experienced that, we would literally experience the prayer cover come on. It was almost like you could feel this thing lift. It was powerful, guys. You need to understand that even though, you know, Ukraine has been evangelized and they're going into enemy territory. They're going to bless. They're going to, you know, they're going to work for God. And so they need our prayer. It's actually paramount. It's not even like a nice to have. They will die out there without us. So that's how important it is.
And I'd like to encourage, if you do put your name on that list, when you put your names on that list, trust God to convict you to fast for us too. Just for that day. The day that you decide to pray for us, fast for us. There's power in fasting. It will keep you focused on us and what the Lord wants to do through us. So thank you so much for that. We have it's not new. We've got that map on the side wall, and that's actually going to become our missions wall. So we started putting it together a while back. We put a frame around it. We put panels on the side. On Friday, we started putting some of the information. Some of that information will change. It's going to be rescheduled, but we just put it out there so that you would know what is coming. And there are a lot of people to thank for that. The thing is, the reason for this wall is most of you sitting in this church don't know what we're doing. And that's possibly, well, it's my fault for not sharing enough, but now you've got a wall to look at. And I just want to cover a couple of the things that are on the prayer wall. You'll see the Khabarov family, which is the family that we partner with in the Ukraine. They've got an incredible ministry. Volodya at the moment is on a 2-month mission trip with Sasha, the guy that Vian was talking about. They are going to basically travel 20,000 kilometers by road through Russia and through the whole of Central Asia, preaching the gospel to some people that have never heard the gospel being preached. They may have seen some kind of literature, but they've never seen somebody stand up and talk about Jesus. I believe that we got led to this specific ministry to assist with that Central Asian mission field. And I say that because we already, if you don't know, we are supporting on a monthly basis Pastor Alexander from Kyrgyzstan, him and his family. They support and encourage a whole lot of churches in southern Kyrgyzstan. When we go to the Ukraine now, he's flying across to meet us. So maybe next year there'll be 2014 mission trip to Kyrgyzstan. Who knows? Who knows? I know it's God's heart for us to go to the ends of the earth. So yes, there's a lot of things on that wall. Now I'm actually going to ask Johnny to come and share about the Cow Project, which is one of the ways that the Central Asian communities are reached. So Johnny, if you want to come and share for us.
Good morning. I'd like to share one scripture before I testify. Give you a short testimony. It's Galatians 1, verse 15 to 16, which says, "But when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me," I don't think there's anything else that gives God the Father so much joy than seeing his Son revealed in us. Why? Scripture continues, so that I may preach the gospel to the heathen. That's the only reason for spiritual growth. Why we have to become like Jesus, for one reason, so that we may preach the gospel to the heathen. Now, there was this young Muslim boy who wanted to get married, but they also have the custom of lobola, where you have to pay for your bride, like here among the tribes in South Africa. So he had no hope. He had a snowball's hope of ever obtaining a cow to buy himself a wife. So he was desperate, and Balotia and them heard of his plight. So they decided to surprise him, and they bought him a cow so that he could buy his bride. And Volodya was in that village at that time. He says, about 3 o'clock in the morning, nature called, and of course, you know, the toilets are out. And as he walked outside, here he finds this young man sitting on a wooden stool, staring at this cow. 3 o'clock in the morning, because he couldn't believe that there was someone who would send him a cow. The day of the wedding, so many Muslims came to hear about this God who sends cows to mothers-in-law. And the young bridegroom and his wife both repented. The mother-in-law repented, and quite a few of the people became Christians through that. The other short one is, you know, if the Muslim father dies, then his own wife and children are totally disowned, because his father and the family, they inherit everything. So, of course, this guy died, and his wife and the two daughters were left destitute. And they've got a little hut with only one window and a door. It's about this size, a mud hut. And so Volodya and his team decided to buy her a cow. They bought the cow, and they said to her, but now where are you going to keep the cow? She says, it'll sleep with us in this room, and it'll keep us warm in winter. Then they taught her how to milk the cow, how to make butter, make cheese. Next year when they got there, she had built on 3 rooms. She was prospering as a businesswoman. She had accepted the Lord. They'd all become Christians. And the people are amazed at this God that supplied all their needs. Bless you.
I actually think there was a church planted from that lady, wasn't there? Was that another testimony? Yeah, there was a church planted because of that lady that Johnny was just sharing about. But cows cost money. And we've actually got a new missions account on the missions wall. It will be made bigger. It's a bit small. just so you don't have to put on your glasses to read it. If you do want to support any of the projects that we do, you can use that account. It's separate from our main bank account. It will only be used for mission outreach focused things. If you want to support the cow project, you just put cow project. If you want to support Kyrgyzstan, you put Kyrgyzstan. If you want to support Ukraine, you put Ukraine, whatever the Lord leads you to do. But we've got other people, other families on that wall, and I'm just going to ask for Nessa to come and share with one more of the families, and then we'll kind of wrap it up.
My name is Anessa, for those who don't know me. And my husband and my children are part of Vessel's small group. A couple of years ago, Yanni has challenged us all as a congregation and different small groups to pray about what is it that we live as a community and as Christians for? What is the outflow of our Christian walk as home cells? Hello. after having prayed and spent some time praying as a cell, we really felt that the Lord has connected our hearts with the long-term missionaries and long-term missions. So for the period of time, we supported a couple that were sent out from this church, and now we feel that the Lord has really connected our heart with a couple from that's busy serving in Malawi. Can we have a picture? Will it work? Oh, there we go. So I have a privilege of introducing to you those who don't know, Mark and Ronelle and John Mark and Sasha. Ronelle has been part of this congregation since very early 90s, where this church has sent her out on a mission trip or long-term mission to Lesotho, where she met Mark and they got married. And since 97, they were part of the work that the Lord has been doing in Lesotho together in conjunction with YWAM. And as far as I know, Ronelle is a clinic nurse, and Mark has been involved in foundations for farming, uplifting the communities. So 6 years ago, the Lord has sent this couple, this family, to Malawi. Do we have any Malawians here? Anybody from Malawi? Yeah, there are. So you guys will know where Mzuzu region is. For the rest of us, we can go look on the map at the back there. So they're serving in Mzuzu region to the farmers, and they're serving the pastors that are being trained through discipling people and teaching them the principles of farming and principles of finances and also just basic discipleship principles. Ronelle at the moment is helping one of the Bible colleges with doing their books, and she's homeschooling her two children. So they do come to South Africa from time to time, and I'm sure we'll have a privilege of seeing them here at some point. I would just like to encourage you all and say that I really strongly believe that when we support missionaries, whether it is through prayer or through finances or just encouragement or just writing a short note to them, that the fruit of their labor really becomes our inheritance.
You will also find on the wall prayer requests from the different families that we are supporting. And when I say support, as Anessa correctly said, it's not just financial, it's emotional support. We send mission teams, we pray for them. So that's going to be on the board. If you don't see it, it will be there soon. I'm not going to share about it now because we will save it for another time. A little bit more about our local outreach in Kroondal. Really important for us to get involved as a church and as a community. But as I said, we'll save that for another time. I'm going to ask Rebecca to play a clip. It's 6 minutes long. It's regarding missions. And while we do that, can I ask the ushers just to take up the offering, please? Thank you.
The job is not done in the world that Christ gave us to do, and the mandate is still binding on us today. That's why we speak of unreached people groups. But the missions is the back-breaking, culture-penetrating, darkness-shattering initial work to penetrate, plant the church, see it flourish, get its own elders, train its own people, evangelize its own networks. That's the task of missions. It's not over. And that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And the alternative is hell. And millions and millions and millions of people are on their way there. And we have the only means of escape in our heads and in our hearts. Jesus Christ.
There are many prodigal sons on our city streets. They for shelter, and there are homes broken down, people's hopes have fallen to the ground from failures. This is an emergency, and there
So count the cost, brothers and sisters, this is not an invitation to an easy life. For 2,000 years, thousands and thousands of missionaries, the unnamed, no biographies written about them, just unnamed people of whom the world is not worthy, have counted this cost and put their lives at risk and reached the lost with the only message of salvation.
If the Lord burdens your heart for a specific country, Shofar sends mission teams to 42 countries. And I don't want to hear that I don't have the money, because we've got two interns, one sitting at the back there. Lisa, where's Andre? Andre, stand up. Andre, stand up, Lisa. Two interns from our church. These two people have no money. They have no money. That they are working for free. They decided to take a year, you can sit down. They decided to take a year of their life to serve God for nothing. They do not get a salary. Andre does not get a salary for being an intern in the missions department in Stellenbosch. Lisa does not get a salary from our church, and she serves everywhere in our church and in Stellenbosch. But they're going on missions. He's going to Iran. Andre is going to Iran. Lisa's going to India. I know that your money's already come in. Lisa's is slowly coming in. It might have already come in by now. I don't know. So I don't want to hear that I don't have the money. God will provide if he has called you. I don't want to hear that I've got families. There's family. There's an example right here of a family that's going with two little children. Those children are going to be affected in ways that 10 years of kids' church could never affect them. It's an example to all of us. So thank you to the pastors for opening up, as Kat prayed, I think, or someone said, opening up just a shift in the spirit. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. We will be having a popcorn evening tonight, and our little Sabrina and Christina, you can go to the front there and hand out some tickets, just as a reminder. So Christina and Sabrina, they made the tickets last night with a little bit of help. And it's just a little reminder to say that we are having a popcorn evening at 6. So you can stand at the doors, girls, as everybody walks out. Or you can hand it, you can do whatever you want. So thank you so much. If you believe, just please stand with me as we end in prayer. Father, you are amazing. You are amazing. You are spectacular. You are faithful. And Lord, we know that you have a heart filled with love for your people, a heart and a passion for the lost, for those who don't know you. Lord, I pray that this morning, Lord, you've spoken to us through the power of your Holy Spirit. You've excited us, Lord, to start to see the world as you see it, Lord. Open up the eyes of our heart, Lord. Let us, as that video said, Lord, not turn away and pretend like we haven't heard. We know the truth, Lord. In Jesus Christ, you are the truth. You are love. And it is our responsibility to go and share that love, that light, that truth with the world. So I thank you for boldness, Lord. I thank you for boldness in our very own town. Lord, I want to invite anyone who lacks that boldness to share the gospel. I want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. The missions team wants to pray for you. Because we don't expect you to go there out in your own strength. That's not what Jesus expected either. That's not the way God planned it. He said, I will give you the Holy Spirit and he will give you power to be my witness. So I thank you, Father. I thank you for those that will come up, Lord, and you will give them power to be your witness in Franschhoek, in the Franschhoek Valley, the Western Cape, South Africa, and to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.